Bible says, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, I write these things to you who believe. To you who believe in the name of the Son of God. I hope that you come here this morning believing in the name of the Son of God. Amen? Amen. If you don't believe, I hope you're interested. I hope you want to find out. Because if you believe and if you want to find out, you're in the right spot. And if you don't, it's going to be about 40 minutes until George and his crew are out there barbecuing. Because that's the only reason you're here, if you don't believe and you don't want to believe. Amen? So we got lunch for you afterward, hoping you will stick around because you can hang out with all these beautiful people that are just hanging right here. Amen? Amen. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. That's a good thing to know. Amen? This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray. We're going to talk about that. He should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. And I'm not saying that he should pray about that. We're going to talk about that too. All wrongdoing is sin. And there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who has been born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Get a witness on that. We also know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Lord, we come before You this morning, knowing that You're good and mighty, knowing that You have a plan for us, knowing that You open our hearts to the understanding of Your Word, the plan that You have and Your will for us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You would speak to our hearts this morning, that You would open our minds, Lord, that You would gird us up as we fight the good fight, Lord. Stand against darkness, Lord. That You would guide and direct us. We ask that all in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Some of you are aware that we had a problem last Sunday morning. Gail comes up, says, hey, my stuff is not sounding right. Gail plays this keyboard right here. He's got this big old speaker in the back of that thing. And it's like 5 minutes before service. And I'm going, it sounds pretty good. And I said, maybe it's not right. 5 minutes, we cannot fix anything. We're just going to roll the way it is. So we roll the way it is. We had good church last week. Amen. Praise the Lord, we had good church. And Monday, we're doing food distribution. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna fix this speaker, you know, and check it out. So I'm checking it out. And, you know, it's pretty tight back here, so I kind of slide it out at an angle. You know, it's kind of like sitting at an angle. I got the back, and I'm kind of wiggling in there, you know. And I replace the tubes in there. It's a tube amp. And turn it on. I'm going, okay. And there's this thing. I don't want to turn it on. There's a thing in there that gives it the sound. It spins. And it's actually a tweeter that's about this long. It's about that long, and it just spins. It sounds very cool. And I'm turning that thing on, and it's not spinning. And I'm going, man, Gail, you were right on. And so I got them cell phones. I got the flashlight on it, you know. And so I'm kind of looking in there, and I'm squeezing in this thing, man. And my face is kind of down in there. And I'm looking, and I see 2 feet. I mean, they look like alien feet to me, man. They are not small feet. And I come wiggling out. My face is right there, man, you know? And I'm tripping. I am flat out tripping, man. Well, we're in a series called Living in the Light. You know, and John has been talking about this evil that will wiggle its way into your life. Just like that thing back there in the speaker, man. It's like, you know, how does it get in there, man? And John is talking about evil and sin. Hold on. Evil and sin that will just sneak its way into your life. Talking about, this is the eighth message in our series on living on the light. And John is focused on those people that are living the transformed life. That they have come out of darkness and are living in the light. And as you come out of the darkness, you become a target. Amen? That the world will begin to pull back on you as you begin to stand out in the light, right? You're coming out of darkness. And you start coming into that light, and the world goes, whoa, and starts pulling back on you. And you begin to fight. But that's okay. Because if you're going to win, you've got to fight. Amen? Amen? Darkness is always coming. How'd it go last week for you? Darkness coming after you? If darkness is not coming after you, maybe it's because you're in the darkness. And the world's not losing anything on you. So how was it last week? Where were you under attack? Where were you battling the attack of the enemy? Where is evil trying to wiggle its way into your life? Just like up into Gail's speaker. John tells us we can win. John tells us we can have victory because you're going to have to fight if you're going to win. Message today is called Living as a Target. You're in the light. You got a target on you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go. Verse 13 and 14 says, I write things to you, these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. And even living as a target, and even living in battle all the time, God wants us to know that we can live in confidence. Amen? Now, start off, this message is not for everyone. I'm saying, what? No. This is a closed message. See right there. This I write to those who believe. And that belief changes everything in your life. Have you found that to be true?
Yes.
You come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything is transformed in your life.
Amen.
So is this letter for you? Have you asked Jesus to save you? Have you come out of darkness and into light? Have you asked them to forgive your sins? If you haven't, you're not a target. If you haven't, this message is not for you. You're not fighting. You're not winning. You come in here today and all this stuff I'm going to say is not really going to make sense. Because you are living in darkness. And the light is far away. This whole book is closed to you. John tells us, the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us that you will not understand this book without the Holy Spirit to reveal its truth to your mind and to your heart and to your soul.
Amen.
You come in here and you could be lost. You could be totally under the control of the world. But I want to let you know. Even though John is not speaking to you today, I have a message for you today. And we'll get to it at the end. Amen?
Amen.
John is writing to believers. If you're a believer, he's writing this to you. Those who have come out of darkness and into the light. Those who have been transformed by the Spirit of God. Those who are fighting the good fight. Those who are living under attack. And if you're under attack, the devil is coming against you and speaking little lies to your heart. And he is looking to try and shake you up and make you insecure in your fight. Insecure as you stand in the light going, oh, I'm all alone out here. And the Lord says, I don't want you to be insecure. I want you to be confident. I want you to be bold. I want you to have strength. I want you to have supernatural strength to overcome all this stuff. I want you to be ready to fight and ready to win. As you walk in the light, as he is in the light, you can have confidence. You can have confidence on the day of judgment that you will receive reward. But more than just a reward out in the future, you can have confidence today that you don't stand alone in the attack of the enemy.
Amen.
That he will not leave you alone. That you can have victory in your battle. How do you do that? You come out of the darkness and you start moving to the light. And the further you're in the light, the more confident you will be, the more strength you will have, and the more victories you will win. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Living in the will of God. You're thinking, will of God? Man, I can barely figure out what is going on. How am I going to figure out the will of God? This is confidence. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, you're thinking, oh, there's a trick. There's no trick. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Living in the will of God. You ever wonder what the will of God is? You wonder how you can match the desires of God with your action? You ever wonder, what is the plan of God? Well, we've been in this series in 1 John, and one of the tenets, one of the basics of 1 John is love your brother. Remember that? This is the eighth lesson. I've been talking about loving your brother. What kind of love are we talking about? We're talking about agape love. We're talking about a sacrificial love, a love that costs you something. All you moms out there, and that's why moms get great cards on Mother's Day. Fathers don't get much. It is, man. It's the way it is. It's because moms are out there with that sacrificial love. John says you take that mother's love, that godly love, and you turn it outward into the body of Christ. And you will know that you are living in the will of God. This week, you know, I called Lily this morning. Actually, I called Beatrice because I couldn't get Lily. And Beatrice is Lily's mom. And Lily is a preschool teacher for us on Sundays. And Lydia called last night or texted last night my wife during the football game, son's football game, and said, I got the flu. I can't teach. Well, Lily is the teacher for next week. Called her this morning, said, hey, can you teach? Sure, I can teach. You know what? That girl is in the will of God. Why? Because she is going out of her way. She is making sacrifice so that she would serve the body. She would love the body. That's how you can know if you are in the will of God. Now, what is some other stuff that you can do that you will know that you are in the will of God? Well, I'll tell you what. You put a little study time on this book. It is God's will that you are in this book. Amen? I hope that you are in God's will this week. Put a little bit of time. You know what? You should put a little bit of time every day. You want to know what else you can do? You can pray. I guarantee you, if you are praying, you are in the will of God. Why? Because God wants you talking to him. Amen? There is all kinds of things. You can come to church. Bible says in Hebrews, don't forsake the gathering of the brethren. You are here today. You are in the will of God. Amen?
Amen.
I'm trying to think what else. Serving. You are serving. Do food distribution. Come in. Do some work. Do some stuff. George coming in on Wednesday night. He's got a whole kitchen crew that is cooking. That's the will of God. There's all kinds of things that you can do to be in the will of God. Now, you want to do some things that will get you out of the will of God? After church, go get high today. I guarantee you, you will be out of the will of God. Other things that you can do that will get you out of the will of God. You can steal. You want to really be out of the will of God? Go up to the liquor store, steal some alcohol, and then drink it and get drunk. You will be out. And then go have physical relationships with somebody that you are not married to. I'll tell you what, out of the will, out of the will, out of the will. There's all kinds of ways.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, you want to be out of the will of God? Hometown buffet called gluttony. You know, you load up, that's gluttony, man. I don't know if you could be on a diet and go to hometown, but I haven't been to hometown in a while because I got diabetes. But greed, you can be greedy. That will get you out of the will of God. So you know what will get you, you know the things that can get you in the will of God. And you know the things that can get you out of the will of God. How do you know if you're in the will of the Lord? You'll get answers to your prayer. When we ask him anything according to his will, we have what we ask for. We get answered prayer. Amen? Now there are some that would describe this as lining up on what God wants to do. All right, does that make sense? You know, find out what God wants to do, and you start doing that, and you'll be in God's will. Does that make sense? Come on. All right. Ask God for what he's already going to give you, and he'll give it to you, and you'll be in the will of God. It's kind of like, you know, if my son comes up to me this morning at 8 o'clock and says, "Dad, would you please preach today?" And I'm like, "You got it, son. I'll preach for you." You know, I think praying according to the will of God is a little bit more than asking God to do what he's already going to do. Amen? Are you tracking with me? I think there is, and I don't want to freak anybody out here, especially Ann. She's a Bible student. She's getting ready to get her credentials and everything. But I do believe that what John is talking about here is stretching the will of God. And I'm hesitant to say we're going to change God by our prayers. But it has to be something more than just asking God to do what he's already going to do. Can I get a witness? Are you tracking with me on that? Yeah. It's like China. Does God want to save China? Yes. Oh, yeah. You know what? Maybe I'm just dirt. But I don't really pray for China that much. I mean, I got other stuff. Maybe you are just wound on China. And you just begin to just pray, "Lord, I've got such a burden for China, Lord, that you would just do this mighty, mighty thing." And God's not up there going, "Are you kidding me, China? Really? No, he's like going, "Right on, China. Somebody has a burden for China." And what you begin to do is stretch the will. And what will happen is, Perhaps God would include you in his plan for China. Amen? See, there is this new thing. The Camachos are not here today. They are in Mexico. They are at the orphanage that Lisa and I worked at for 3 years. And that how long did Julie work there? Like 5, 6 years? 7 years? Something like that. That is where she met Cody as an infant with the disability that he has, little baby, he's messed up, and she falls in love with this little boy. And she adopts him, and it's hard. I mean, it's so hard. You have the parents playing games on you, asking for money and all kinds of stuff, or they're not going to let you adopt their kid. Then she gets him over here, and she's got to adopt him in the United States all over again. It costs more and more money. And it's like, don't go back there, all this kind of stuff. Well, they went back to the orphanage 3 weeks ago. No, 2 weeks ago. And Roki didn't want to go. And if you know Roki and he didn't want to do something, he'll let you know. Amen? He's like, "I'm going, but I don't want to go." And he's like there. He gets there. He goes, "I don't like this. I want to be out of here." And they meet Cody's siblings who are living on the orphanage, I believe. They met the siblings. I believe they're on the orphanage, but they might not be. They are. And so there's this thing that begins to happen. And Roki comes back on a Wednesday night, and he says, "I think I'm going to retire as an usher." And I say, "Why is that?" He goes, "Because we're going to start going over to Mexico every other week." And I'm going, "Why?" He goes, "It is so incredible. They're doing this ministry there. They do ministry outside. God is doing such a mighty thing." And what has happened is Roki is praying in the will of God for that orphanage, and God is saying, "Come on." And there is, it's more than Roki praying for what God was already going to do. Roki is stretching God's will for room for him. Amen? We cool on that? We cool on that, Ann? You're not going to storm out? Okay, all right, here we go. All right. Dealing with sin. You're going to win the victory? You got to deal with sin. Can I get a witness on that? If anyone sees his brother commit a sin, All right. Just look to that person on your right. Look to that person on your left. You don't have to say nothing. Just want to let them know you're looking. All right. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. God's people get involved. Can I get a witness on that? God's people get involved. When you see your brother commit a sin, like what? Maybe just like a little sin. Say, wait a minute. We're in the light. If we're all walking in the light, how are you going to see your brother in sin? Well, we've been taken from darkness to light. Amen? But we ain't perfect. Can I get a witness on that? You're living in the light. If you're not living in the light, you're not in the family. John also tells, if you say you're without sin, you're lying. So you see this sin, you start praying. Why? Because there is this attack that is going on to this person or your brother that you see in sin. And I grabbed these because they were easy pictures to get off the internet. But it is some sin that you see your brother involved in. And that brother or that sister is what? He's under attack, right? You're going to win, you got to fight, amen? And sometimes you fight and you don't win, amen? And so you see your brother or you see your sister committing this sin and they're losing. They are in the light and the darkness is catching up and grabbing them and sliding them back. Kind of like that speaker, that animal sliding up in there. Getting in there. How'd it get in there? I don't know. But we got a problem. And so your brother who's in sin or your sister who is in sin has a problem. They are getting into the darkness and they're battling. So what do? You lift that brother or sister up into the light called intercession. Bible says, Hebrews, I want to say 7:15, that Jesus lives to intercede for us, that as we begin to stumble and get into the darkness, that he holds up in us into the light and that darkness is removed because we are bathed in the light of Christ. Does that make sense? So what you are doing is you are coming to the rescue of that brother or that sister who is losing the battle and getting darker and darker and darker. And we have seen people around here and they will be heading out of the light and into the darkness. And you come to the rescue. And the Bible says that as you do that, God infuses life into that desperate situation. Amen? Bible says, what you forgive on earth will be forgiven in heaven. What will be loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. What is bound on earth will be bound in heaven. Based on what? Based on your prayers. That is some power. Amen? See, people around here, they get weak. They start walking in the darkness and they fail. Seen it over and over again. All right. There's a limit. People don't like to hear this. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is another level of sin that John is talking about. He doesn't talk about what that level is. But he says there's a sin that leads to death, and I'm not talking about that. I'm not saying that you should be praying about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. He's saying there's a group of sins that lead to death. Don't pray about those. You're going to have to win that fight in a different way. Sins of a different level. Different degree of darkness. Talked about somebody walking out and I made a joke of it, stealing a bottle of alcohol from a liquor store. Well, I'm telling you that this is an entirely different level of sin than drinking a shot of vodka. Now, I am not saying that if you have shot heroin or meth or cocaine or whatever you might shoot, that that's the unforgivable sin. I am just trying to show a different level. Are you tracking with me? Are you tracking with me? Because there is stuff that you can get into that will just snatch you right up. I'll tell you what, alcohol snatched me right up. I was 15 years old, had just sipping off a beer, watching Jaws at the drive-in with my buddy. Snapped me right up. There's a sin that leads to death. And John says that when you see people, and he doesn't tell us what these sins are. I'm just going to get rid of that. He says that you see somebody involved with that, it's handled differently. Now, Paul gets into a little bit more detail. And he talks about the sins of immorality and alcohol. And he talks about being a drunkard and a slanderer and a gossip and all these things. And he talks about a different mechanism on dealing with these sins. In Romans chapter 1, he talks about those who would exchange the truth of God for a lie. And he talks about the pollution that happens in these lives that he is addressing in the book of Romans. And he says that God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts. See, this is not prayer. God says, go for it. How many people you know, see, God might say, go for it. Gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Go for it. There's not prayer here. There's not lifting them up into the light. No, if anything, there is let them go into the darkness. Let them be in darkness because sin can deal with sin. Can I get a witness on that? I tell you, I met the Lord at the bottom of my pit. Sin was dealing with me. Paul continues to talk. He talks about a man who has his father's wife. He says, you let this guy in your church? Are you kidding me? 1 Corinthians 5, 4 and 5. When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ is present. That's a pretty good lineup there, amen? When you got it all lined up, when you got these guys sitting on the front row, he says, hand this man over to Satan. This is not praying and lifting him up to the Lord and letting the light of the Lord be infused in his life and the darkness be chased away. That is about the opposite, amen? Take this guy and throw him into the darkness and let him deal one-on-one with Satan. Now, does that sound like a different level of sin to you? Oh, yeah. And he says, so that. He goes, we're not just doing this to be cruel. We're not just doing this to be mean. So that the sinful nature may be destroyed. So that that thing that is in him that he thinks is not even a problem can be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. Now, you came in here this morning and you don't believe. You came in this morning and John said, this message is not for you. That is where your opportunity lies. And we'll come back to it in a minute. Amen? See, there is some stuff that will snatch you up. There are cases of sin that will cause us to break fellowship. Kick them out of the church. And the effect of that sin will bring people to repentance. There are some drastic impacts of sin. Happened in my life, happened in many of your lives that you sit here today. And all the nice talking and all the prayer was not nearly as effective as the damage that your sin has done to you. Amen? Amen? He says, kick them out. Got to do There's this group of sins that you're not going to play with, that you just got to do an about face and get away from it. Amen? Saw those feet in that speaker. And I was shaken. I really was shaken. Because, I mean, I was just snuggled right up in there. I could smell that thing. I could smell it. I didn't know what, I thought it was just some, being an old speaker. Oh, no. So I hear Tommy downstairs. I go, Tommy, how are you with rodents? And you know Tommy, if you talk to Tommy, he's got this little banter that goes on all the time. You know, yeah, yeah, you know, he's coming up. And I got that speaker pulled out now. And we got a light shining on that thing. And Tommy's just got that banter that he's got, you know, that talk. And he's just doing it. He comes up here. And it's still, it's up in there. I mean, you got to get down there, you know. He's just talking, oh, yeah, you know, back in Alabama, I know whatever he was saying. And he, all of a sudden, he just stops. I'm saying, just stop, about 3 seconds. He looks up at me. It's a possum. Alien feet on a possum. Who would know? So now, we got to get it out of there. I mean, it hadn't done no damage yet. I mean, we got it out and put everything back in about 5 minutes. But, man, we got a big old stick thing. It was actually a curtain rod about this big. And I'm up there whacking it. And he's coming. I can see his head. And then Steve helped us. He got over there. And Marlene was over here. She was praying intercession for us. She wouldn't be too close. She would just throw out those prayers. And... But there are some stuff that you have just got to get rid of in your life, because the longer you leave it there, the more damage it's going to do. Amen? So, Tommy, thank you for that. He was my strength in a time of need, came and rescued me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, praise the Lord. Supernatural assistance is available. Last point. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe. Talking about Jesus will keep you safe, and the evil one cannot harm you. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one, and Jesus will give you protection. Amen? See, you're going to win in your life. You got to fight. You got to find that victory. You are going to be in battle, but you do not fight alone, because Jesus will stand with you. Now, God's people don't sin. So wait a minute, what about the person stealing? What about the heroin guy? What about all these brothers we're going to catch in sin? We're talking about an ongoing state of sin, because if you are in the light, you won't be in the darkness. Okay? That's what he's saying. God's people are not in a state of sin. We're working on it. You see your brother in sin, you're going to jump in. You see your brother in sin, you're going to jump in.
That's right.
You see your brother in sin, you're going to jump in.
Amen.
All right, I got a half. Yeah, it's messy. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it takes effort. Yeah, it's a pain. It is different than the code of the hood. You do your thing, I'll do my thing. Just like, you don't mess with me, I won't mess with you. No, man, we are messing with one another. Can I get a witness? Yeah, we are involved. We are working out our sin. Why? Because sin will kill you. You're not just going to leave that stinking possum in there and say, Gail, just deal with it? Bring him a little snack? But that's what some people think, man. Bring him a snack. It'll be okay. No, man, you are losing. And the wages of sin is death. Sin will kill you. And one of the tactics of the devil is to trip you up. And what John is telling us is the world has no protection against the devil. I saw this yesterday. I'm a Craigslist kind of guy. I'm always checking, looking for some more gear for up here. Maybe a new speaker doesn't have a possum in it. WTS, want to sell my soul for unholy guitar skills in Vista. You know, I just kind of moved on across that. And I said, whoa, I got it. Hello, I've been trying to get a hold of Satan and haven't been able to reach him. If you know how to contact him, please do and point him in my direction. You will receive a sizable finder's fee for your assistance in this quest of mine. Thanks a lot. He got no protection, doesn't know what he's messing with or she's messing with. You know, Lord, I just lift up this person. You know, I don't know how to pray. We've got some limits going on here, but Lord, this is just, this boy needs some protection, Lord. We thank you for the protection that you give us. The Bible tells us that in the midst of your attack, as the devil is coming against you, that Jesus jumps in the middle of it and provides protection, that you don't stand alone. Nope, I got to go back, sorry. We know that we are children of God. He says, the one who was born of God keeps you safe, and the evil one cannot harm you. That as he is attacking you, that there is supernatural assistance, the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, guiding you into the truth, guiding you into victory. And the world doesn't have it. So they need some help. Amen? All right, here we go. Last point, or last half of a point. Jesus gives protection. Jesus gives us understanding. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. That the Lord Jesus Christ has come to introduce us to his Father. Amen? And we are in him who is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Jesus gives us protection and Jesus gives us understanding. You can get this. You can understand this. You might be struggling with it, but you ask the Holy Spirit, come to this book, open it up, say, Lord, help me understand. Jesus said the Holy Spirit was coming to guide us into truth. Bible here, John says that Jesus comes and opens our hearts and opens our minds and opens our souls to truth. Ezekiel talked about it 600 years before Christ. I will give you a new heart, God speaking through him. I will put a new spirit in you. I will move from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I think that guitar player in Vista might need a new heart from the Lord and a new spirit from the Lord. This is a transformation. The transformation, if you are here and you are getting any of this, it is a transformation that is started by God. My question is do you want to be in the light? Do you want to be more in the light? Do you want that transformation to just really just sink down deep? Because the enemy is going to sneak in and try and get you off track. Try and drag you back into darkness. And you're going to need some people around you holding you up in the light, bathing you in the light of Christ. You're going to need Jesus Christ himself standing and doing battle on your behalf. Do you want this? Is this on your mind? Do you have this? See, the enemy's going to wheedle his way in and cause you to doubt. Say, I'm not really saved. I don't really know Christ. Well, you might not know him all that great, but man, if you are trying to get there, it is only because he is in your life. Amen? And that's what John is saying. He's saying, man, you are moving in this direction. You are good. You are good for today, but God wants you closer to him tomorrow. Amen? Yeah. So if you got some darkness in your life, man, you've got to have somebody around and say, what have you done? What are you doing? Somebody who will care enough to get involved in your life. And my question is that you? Do you got enough love in you to grab somebody by the hand and say, you got to leave this, my friend? Is that you? Do you care? Do you love the Lord? You gonna win? Got to fight. How'd you do last week? It's a battle that comes to you. If you're in the battle, you're in the fight, it confirms you are a child of God. And as you are in that battle, it helps you grab on to God. You're fighting and you're grabbing on to God. Man, there is no doubt that He is real. Amen? And as you grab onto Him, you grab onto eternal life. And John says, you are doing just fine. So how about you? You in the light? You walking in? Walking out? Or just playing on the edge? Little in, little out. Little in, little out. I hope you got somebody around you that's going to shake you. Maybe the Holy Spirit is here right now shaking you. Lisa, you want to come up and play? Holy Spirit right now is saying, you've been toying with me, boy. Girl, you've been playing with fire. And that stuff is going to burn you. How'd you do last week? Were you battling for victory or were you just battling defeat? The Lord wants you winning. You come in here this morning, when I said at the beginning, this letter might not be for you. This letter was not for you, but this part of the message is for you, because right now the Holy Spirit is saying, you are in sorry shape, pal. You don't know me. You don't know my son. You have got no tie to eternal life. But you are the luckiest person on the planet, because right now I am extending you an offer. I'm extending you an offer of eternity. I am extending you an offer of a brand new heart and a brand new spirit. I will take that heart of stone right out of your chest, and I will make you a new creation. And I don't know if the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking right now to your heart. But if He is, you are the luckiest person on the planet this morning, because He is saying it is time to come into the winner's circle. It is time to start fighting and having somebody on your side so that you can be a winner. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you speak to our hearts, Lord. And I thank you that you speak to that person, Lord, who come in this morning thinking that there was not a message or a hope for them this morning. But Lord, that you have given them new hope. Lord, that you have given them a new desire, Lord, a desire for eternity and a desire for victory, Lord, and that you come, Lord, to fight with us and to guide us, Lord, into victory, Lord. That you would open us to truth, Lord, that you would open us to understanding, Lord. And you sit here this morning, and that is what you crave most, because the Lord has birthed a desire for that in your heart, with nobody looking around. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking right to your heart right now. He's saying, do you want to fight? Do you want to come out of the darkness and into the light? Do you want to surrender your life to me? And I'll give you eternal, 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 and I'll give you eternal.